How to apply these words to our days. We know that we learn from history, that men seldom learn from history, and help us to recognize that you are working, and our country, unfortunately, is not listening, and I pray you'd help us at least to be people who do listen. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Oh, I got a couple news articles here. Once in a while, I should give these out if you'd like to understand some of the reasons for my beliefs. It's kind of funny. About 3 months ago, Hank walked up to me in the hallway. He said, "I used to think you were crazy." I'm really glad he said "used to think." And so that tells me, okay. For example, here's one that shows the backbone of our society should be agriculture. Actually, that is the backbone of our society. And that's where the strength of America was. The average debt of a U.S. farm is $1.3 million. That's the average debt. So when you go by and you see this farm equipment and everything, realize that on the average, $1.3 million in debt. And then if you saw the crops or see the crops of this year, they're going to be hurting worse. So there's that one, if you'd like to look at that article. And this one is, if you ask the average American how the internet works, they would tend to think by the satellites, right? That ain't true. That's a big hoax. Okay, here's a document that shows it's by submarine communication cables. Let's go back to Samuel Morris, where he's the first one that ran an electrical wire through hemp. He had a hemp as an outer coating. And then he had the first Morse code, so he wanted to see if the electric would stay within the wire. And since the 1860s, and then this has like, let's see if I got a map on it. That's a small map. There's a little bit of a map. Okay, so this shows that 99% of our internet service is run through a cable, or a bunch of cables. Where they're submarine, they run clear from the United States to Europe, to Africa, to Australia, Los Angeles, all over the place. And then you can find a map, and that sort of kind of throws a monkey wrench in this NASA satellite stuff that we're being lied about. And so that's a pretty interesting article. Kind of a shocking thing to a lot of people. So, hey, we get lied to a lot, don't we? So, yes, ma'am. On like GPS, that is that operates on triangulation of the cell towers. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, the wire's kind of flexible, yeah. Maybe a shark bite a couple times, but they don't get too many problems. They can detail the problems and go right to it and fix it. So it's really interesting. Yes, ma'am?
Something that you mentioned something about, you stated that they
I think I said confidential. It's comprehensive financial annual report. Comprehensive financial annual report. The ones that took the law classes were sort of kind of educated about that. The guy that taught the law class went to Wisconsin's ledger and asked for a printout of the, what is it, ledger sheet or whatever, of the comprehensive financial annual report of Wisconsin. They said it'd be 4 feet thick paper. And at that time, they had $70 billion in it. So they could run the entire state of Wisconsin without paying one tax for years. Indiana's is $30 billion at the time. But they keep charging taxes. Why do them boogers keep doing that? Illinois's got one too, but it's not for the public. Well, the public can find access to it, but it's kind of, yeah. So that's the deception in our country. Ezekiel 22, okay, this is an additional thought or message from the Lord to Ezekiel. It originated in chapter 20, verse 1. In the seventh year, in the fifth month, in the tenth day of the month. So that entire chapter is God judging Judah for their them despising his statutes. Chapter 21, he added more to it. Okay, the word. So it's in part 1, part 2, and chapter 22, part 3. Okay, and then so forth. Okay, so chapter 22, I'm going to try to go slower in this chapter because it's got a lot packed, it's got a whole bunch packed in here. Okay, we obviously know doctrinally, dispensationally, Old Testament, but we learn from history that men don't learn from history or seldom do learn from history. And if a people don't understand their history, they're destined to repeat it. So there's nothing new under the sun. America is repeating the same history that Israel and Judah went through, Rome went through, Media Persia, Greece. It's just like a broken record, okay? And it's usually people get in power, power goes to their head, they look at the people as little insects, and so we're going to get all we can out of the little insects until they rebel against us, and then we'll just wipe them out. And a parasite never thinks about what happens if I drain the dog dry. They don't think about that. They don't have a lice or a flea convention in the back of the dog and getting together and say, if we bleed too much out of this dog, he's going to die. Okay? They're not Democrat lice and then Republican lice, you know. Okay, and so that's how parasites work. So chapter 22, verse 1, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, okay, remember that Ezekiel was a priest. He was taken captive against his will in the second military campaign by Babylon. Daniel was taken first in the first military campaign. So he's over in Babylon, and the Lord will either take him over back over to Judah, either by a vision. Okay, and then he is declaring certain judgments. Okay, so verse 2, right off the bat. Now, thou son of man, wilt thou judge? Wilt thou judge? Okay, we'll just stop there. Wilt thou judge? The biggest complaint you hear on the street, and I was thinking about that. We're going to try to go to Purdue on Saturday, maybe 5 o'clock at Rensselaer. So let us know if you're able to go so I can figure out the rides. But the biggest complaint on streets when you hold street signs is you're judging me. So the question, son of man, wilt thou judge? The average American would say, you're not supposed to judge. Matthew 7, verse 1, judge not, ye be not judged. Okay, but then Jesus said in John 7, 24, judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. And then Paul said, he that spiritual judgeth all things. So judgment is another word for discretion, discernment. If you're on the highway, I certainly hope you do judge. Okay, you recognize the difference between a green light and a red light. So, now thou son of man, wilt thou judge the bloody city? Okay, bloody is a European cuss word. It is a derogatory, degrading the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the intent of that word. Now, a person uttering that word may not have that intent. Okay, but the spirits that initiated that are the ones that do have that intention. Okay, so this city is a bloody city. Okay, not just murder, but there's a bunch of things that Ezekiel will say that's involving blood or equal to murder where they may not kill somebody, but they're taking their possessions. And Ezekiel said, you're bloody people. A lot of times a thief will say, I'm not hurting anybody, I'm just taking their possessions. Okay, but you're taking their life. When you take someone's livelihood or their possession, you are, that person is taking a portion of their life. They're bleeding them dry. And so he said, wilt thou judge the city? The answer is yes. Yea. They deserve judgment. Thou shalt show her all her abominations. Okay, so you can see that a city is referred to as a feminine. That's why they have outskirts on the side, on the outlying part of the city. Okay, then it says, then say thou, thus saith the Lord God, the city sheddeth blood in the midst of it, that her time may come, and maketh idols against herself to defile herself. So the shedding of blood is connected with idols. So if you take a trip to Israel, if you ride the bus around the southern gate, the bus will curve around, it'll come around the gate, and then it goes around this area, and there's a valley there, and it curves back around. That's the Valley of Hinnon. That's where they had child sacrifices, in sight of the city. Okay, so if a person could hear it, I don't have that capability. I read a book about a guy that claimed he did. I'm not going to say yay or nay. But you might hear children's blood being cried there in that location. Okay, the Bible says their blood of innocent blood, what does it say? It cries. Okay, so if God would give us the capability to hear that, we would hear that right there, because that blood has not been, well, it has been executed since the Lord did this to Jerusalem, but that blood would still be crying. Okay, I read a book about a guy that, you know, I'm not sure how much of it I take, but he said that he could hear the crying of innocent blood in certain areas, and he would travel around the world, and if he would hear this, then he would pray in that location against that stronghold. And he was in Europe somewhere, England somewhere, and he could hear children crying out, and it was in the woods, it was in a dark, you know, woods, nobody around. And he could just hear children crying out. And so he just started praying for that area. And then he did a little research in the community. And the community people said that years ago there was child sacrifices in that area. So maybe he could hear it. I don't know. Okay, but if the Bible is true, which I'm not questioning it, when blood is shed on a piece of property, that blood is crying out for vengeance. As Abel's blood cries out from Cain. So that's verse 3. And it's associated with her idols. The idolatry. And so the Lord judges them. And the Lord has executed decreed guilty. Verse 4. Thou art become guilty in thy blood that thou hast shed. And hast defiled thyself in thine idols which thou hast made. Okay, so the idol is just a piece of stone, maybe brass, maybe metal, but it's like a magnet that draws unclean spirits that creates the defilement. And thou hast caused thy days to draw near, and art come even unto thy years, therefore have I made thee a reproach unto the heathen, in the immediate context, Babylon, and a mocking to all countries. So he's using them as an example. And that's what Israel is. To whom much is given, much is required. There's only one nation throughout history that actually made a covenant with God, where God chose Israel, and then Israel agreed to the covenant. It's called the Mosaic Covenant. Okay, America, in its founding, did want God to be the king of America, okay, but, you know, there wasn't, you know, the Lord honored America by blessing the country. So verse 5, those that be near and those that be far from thee shall mock thee, which are infamous and much vexed. Behold, the princes of Israel. Okay, so prior to this, prior to Ezekiel, the princes would have been in that number, would have been Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, but they're gone now. They're in Babylon. Behold, the princes of Israel. So there's the political figureheads. Okay, so when you have a bunch of princes in a country, Proverbs 28, verse 2, I mentioned this Sunday that for the transgression of a land, many are the princes thereof, but by a man of understanding and knowledge, the state thereof shall be prolonged. So the bigger government, the more corruption that takes place. Okay, in America, if Americans, if the people in authority actually were concerned for our country, if they really were, I don't think they are. I believe a congressman, a senator, as soon as they get in office, their first goal is to get reelected. That's all they care about. They take an oath to our country, but they're not buying into it. I don't believe they are. They're throwing out the word socialism now. Socialism is now not a bad word anymore. These college kids are throwing out socialism. They have not a clue what they're talking about. Give them a trip to Venezuela to see how nice it is. That'd be the one that's way down the highway of socialism. America's on the road. Okay, and these politicians who are at the top are got the accelerator down, and the Republicans are not putting the brakes on it too much. And socialism is planned chaos is what it is. So the princes of Israel, everyone were in thee to their power to shed blood. So political figureheads are shedding blood. Are they doing it publicly? Are they doing it privately? Doesn't matter. Either way, God is keeping the record. Okay, and one of the first things they start beginning to do is they attack the family. No new thing under the sun. They try to divide the family. So look how they do it here. In thee have they set light by father and mother. What does that mean, set light? It's to create a dissension between children and parents so children take their parents lightly. That's what they're talking about. Now, I have a cross-reference that takes you back to 12 curses on a nation, Deuteronomy chapter 27, 12 or 10, let's see. 12 curses on a nation. So these are when a nation allows these things to take place, then they can demand God to bless them as a nation, but God says, no, I'm not going to do that. Okay, so you can start in verse 15, you can start running them down. Now, this is with Israel. So you can see in verse 15, they got graven images. So that's the first thing right off the bat. Okay, and then the second one is, cursed be he that setteth light by his father or his mother. So it's taking your parents lightly. Okay, and then verse 17, cursed be he that removeth his neighbor's landmark. Okay, there are certain landmarks in a nation. Now, this is property line, so the Bible promotes private property. So it's this, in this context, it's a person that moves the landmark maybe 6 inches 1 year and maybe 6 inches the next year, and then his neighbor don't pick up on the subtle moves. Okay, but these are landmarks in our country where there's landmarks or standards of Christianity. You know, marriage is between a man and a woman. These are standards. These are common sense biblical principles, and our country's kicking them and kicking them and kicking them further. Okay, and then even verse 18, cursed be he that maketh the blind to wander out of his way, taking advantage of a handicap. Verse 19, cursed be he that perverteth the judgment of a stranger, fatherless, widows. That's a perverted justice system. Okay, where Israel, and he's going to mention this one again. Ezekiel is going to mention this one. Let's go back. Well, let's see. You can run all those if you want, but if we go back to 22:7, in thee have they set light by father and mother. In the midst of thee have they dealt by oppression with the stranger. Okay, so that's one I just read. Okay, now with the Jewish mindset, they don't care about strangers. Okay, a stranger is a foreigner, an alien. Okay, if you're not Jew, you're not in the gang. So in our culture, we pay everything for the stranger. The foreigners come up from Nicaragua and the Central America, you know, and they swing over from Iran, Iraq, and they get asylum, and we pay for everything for the strangers in our country. The Jews won't do that. The strangers are dogs. Get out of here, dog. But our country is so messed up. People say, well, how can we stop it? Well, take away the incentives. There's nothing difficult about this. Just quit paying them. So it says, in the midst of thee have they dealt by oppression with the stranger. Now the ones that are getting oppressed in our country are the ones who are like the founding fathers. White, male, straight, Protestant. That's the ones that's getting oppressed in our country. Not that we have a persecution complex, we just understand it. You know? And so, and then it says, in thee have they vexed the fatherless and widow. Okay, in some of these cultures, when they see, like in Israel, they see a fatherless kid, they see a kid on the street, kid begging, or in Vietnam, they think that's scum. They don't want to help them. They think that, like in Vietnam, that fatherless was a bad person in his former life, and so he's getting punished in this life because of his former life. So they think that they deserve it. So fatherless, and then he says, verse 8, thou hast despised mine holy things. That would be the tabernacle. In our culture, that would be the Bible. People despising the Word of God, despising church, and hast profaned my Sabbath. Okay, of course, that's all Israel. The Sabbath is a sign between God and Israel. And then he said, in thee are men that carry tails to shed blood. Carry tails to shed blood. False witnesses in court. When John the Baptist was baptizing these people in Luke chapter 3, the publicans came to him. The publicans, so the politicians came to him and said, John, what do we do? He said, stop your extortion. Okay, that's what he told them. Then the people came and the people as a body, he said, okay, impart your coat to somebody, try to help somebody out, blah, blah, blah. When the soldiers or the police came, they said, what do we do? He said, be content with your wages and don't accuse anybody falsely. Has anything changed? Briscoe versus Lehue, Supreme Court case, says that a police officer can lie with immunity. Is that something? Yeah. That's a nation falling apart. So in thee men that carry tails to shed blood, and in thee they eat upon the mountains, in the midst of thee they commit lewdness. What's that? Hollywood. In our culture, that's Hollywood. The lewd acts that these people commit on television and these stuff is just, unbelievable. You know, and people will honor these scum. Oh, let's ask them their wisdom in politics. They don't know squat. Okay, in the midst of thee they commit lewdness. In thee have they discovered their father's nakedness. You go back to Leviticus 18 and read about that. In thee have they humbled her that was set apart for pollution. That's Leviticus 18 also. And one hath committed abomination with his neighbor's wife. Amazing. It's Hollywood all over. And then he says, and another hath lewdly defiled his daughter-in-law, and another in thee hath humbled his sister, his father's daughter. In thee have they taken gifts to shed blood. Okay, so there's a bribe. Thou hast taken usury and increase. Wow, that's a... Okay, how do we apply that? Dispensation. Okay, anybody got a savings account? You wicked murderer. No, you apply this doctrinally. This is aimed at the political figureheads. Okay, usury is the old English word for interest. Under the Jewish economy, Jews can loan to foreign countries, and that's how they could finance their own nation. But if a Jew loaned to another Jew, then they were not to charge interest or usury. Okay, in their economy, that's what they were not to do. But then you got their old beloved Rothschilds and the five boys that he taught, where they financed wars in Europe. And they were financing both sides of the war. Rothschild. And that's where our banking institutions come from. The Rothschilds. If we understand it, we understand the abuse, then we can relax because it's out of our control. And you just kind of work with the system, I guess you could say. Okay, so thou hast taken usury and increase. In God's eyes... usury increase is equal to murder. And that's what Martin Luther also said. He says, thou hast greedily gained of thy neighbors by extortion. Man, that's unbelievable. How do they do something like that in our culture? Well, a county will have bonds for a community. They'll push bonds to support, the beloved school system. Oh, because we do anything for education. And then the attorneys will go down the streets and find a house that's free and clear, and maybe it's a widow's house, and if they need to call on the bond, they'll get that one because that's the easy one to go after. If they see one that's got a lien or it's got an easement, forget that. And that's how they steal. You know, that legal section in a paper, the only ones that read those fine print things are people who intend, often to steal. Okay, and so that's how it takes place. And that's where it says, greedily gained of thy neighbors by extortion and hast forgotten me, saith the Lord God. About last June, I think, I went in a courthouse, I was looking at some of the foreclosures and found a couple locations. I went to the house, knocked on his door, and I said to the fellow, I said, you know your house is up for auction for foreclosure? He said, yeah, I've been praying about that. I said, you better do more than pray. They're going to take it from you. Yeah, I've been concerned about that. Well, I said, you better do something. Yeah, they took it. Yeah. It's just a shame. Trying to take care of his mama, elderly lady. He's taking care of mama. House is pulled right out from under him. Unbelievable. Thou hast forgotten me, saith the Lord God. Verse 13, behold, therefore I have smitten mine hand at dishonest gain. God smites his hand at dishonest gain, which thou hast made, and at thy blood, which hath been in the midst of thee. And then he says this, can thine heart endure, or can thine hands be strong in the days that I shall deal with thee? I, the Lord, have spoken it and will do it. That's the power of God. That's Ezekiel's warning to Israel before the third military campaign comes in. He told Jeremiah, run through the broadways. Run and see if you can find somebody that executes judgment. See if you can find somebody that seeks the truth. And if you find one guy, I'll pardon it. And there wasn't one. So what did he do with them? We have the great advantage of hindsight. Okay, thank the Lord for that. In verse 15, I will scatter thee among the heathen. Okay, in the immediate, that was Babylon. Doctrinally, that will be throughout the world until the ends of the world. He says, and disperse thee in thy countries and will consume thy filthiness out of thee. So that's what the tribulation is going to be set up, where God is judging Israel for their filthiness. And they are a filthy people. If you doubt that, go to Israel. Go to the XXX, the pornography that they sell in Israel. And in Zurich, Switzerland, the Jewish section. Go there. Read some of the Talmud, what the priest will say you can do with a little girl under the Jewish faith. Yeah, that's filthy. You say, it's the Holy Land. It is the Holy Land, but that's when God's in charge of it. Okay, and so he says he's going to scatter them. Now, we know of a couple of places in the New Testament where he talks about 12 tribes that are scattered abroad, right? And so that will get our footing, our foundational doctrinal foundation set for James. That's why the rich people in James are in a bad way, because they've committed the extortion of verse 12. And then 1 Peter 1, there, where they're scattered also, so that also will get us in the same doctrinal footing. So he says, and thou shalt take thine inheritance in thyself in the sight of the heathen, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Okay, so this would be like in the Holocaust. The Jewish people would take their gold and their silver and they'd try to take it with them as they're taken out, and then them Germans just ripped it out away from them. And then they would send them through the gas chambers, and then they'd take the Jewish prisoners, and the Jews would take these pliers and rip out the gold fillings out of their mouths. Yeah, that's all part of God's judgment, because they said 2,000 years ago, let his blood be upon us and our children. And God said, okay, I offered it to you. The God of the Bible is amazing. That's why we ought to fear him. Verse 17, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, the house of Israel is to me become dross. All they are brass and tin and iron and lead. Kind of sounds like our money, doesn't it? Sounds like the coinage. In the midst of the furnace, they are even the dross of silver. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because ye are all become dross, behold, therefore I will gather you into the midst of Jerusalem. And as they gather silver and brass and iron and lead and tin into the midst of the furnace to blow the fire upon it, to melt it. So there's some of the gas chambers for World War II. Prophetic statements here. So will I gather you in mine anger and in my fury, and I will leave you there and melt you. Yea, I will gather you and blow upon you in the fire of my wrath, and ye shall be melted in the midst thereof. As silver is melted in the midst of the furnace, so shall ye be melted in the midst thereof, and ye shall know that I, the Lord, have poured out my fury upon you. So that's Israel. Now, how will all this begin? How can we try to nip it in the bud? Where can we look to see the beginning of this problem? So in verse 23, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, say unto her, thou art the land that is not cleansed nor rained upon in the day of indignation. There is a... Well, I'll be. Something you can't say on Rush Limbaugh. You bring up a conspiracy, click. They won't talk about a conspiracy. Are you a conspiracy theorist? No, not at all. Conspiracy factus. It's a fact. A conspiracy is nothing more than two or more people who are in agreement to commit a crime. That's a conspiracy. I do believe there are two or more people that have intentions to commit crimes against this country and the people of this country. That is a conspiracy. Okay, Ezekiel believed in a conspiracy. Jeremiah believed in a conspiracy. Jeremiah chapter 11, verse 6 or verse 9. And so this is just a fact of life. Okay, so in verse 25, you have a conspiracy in her prophets. Verse 26, her priest. Okay, and then that will bleed out from there to verse 27, her princes. So why is it that American politicians who take an oath of office to the Constitution of the United States could care less what it says? Don't even read it. It's because preachers in this country for years have snubbed their nose at that authorized King James Bible, and they have snubbed their nose at this book, and what happens in the pulpit or in the Christian college bleeds out to the politicians. It starts right there. That's why in 1 Peter chapter 4, the Lord says, when judgment begins, it begins at the house of God. The conspiracy amongst the priests and the prophets, it's not a handwritten conspiracy because you don't usually have a handwritten conspiracy. That lets the cat out of the bag. The conspiracy is that God inspired a book years ago but done lost it somewhere. And the only way you're going to know exactly what it says is you got to come to the Alexandrian cult who's going to tell you what the originals say without ever seeing them. And that's what's taken over the schools it's taken over our schools for years. It's been going on for years. So that's where it starts. It starts right there. So if we get back to this book, it's like Noah Webster. I got a quote in here from him. He's the one that put the dictionary together. I think it was him. In Malachi, I think I got it there. Noah Webster stated this in the 1800s. The principles of all genuine liberty and of wise laws and administrations are to be drawn from the Bible and sustained by its authority. The man, therefore, who weakens or destroys the divine authority of that book. Which one was he talking about that time? That book may be accessory to all the public disorders which society is doomed to suffer. So that's where it goes. It goes right back to Dr. Dry as Dust and Pastor Malfungus, you know, and all these guys that's attacking the words of God, setting themselves as their own final authority. Hence, when you have apostasy in the pulpit, what happens to the people in the pews? Apathy. He don't believe it. Come on. He don't believe that book. I know he doesn't believe it. So why should I care? And then that bleeds out to anarchy in the country. That rule is just an absolute rule of life. It all starts right there in verse 25. That's where it starts. The first sin began when somebody took words from God's mouth, added words to God's mouth, changed the words of God's mouth, and then put something in their mouth that they shouldn't have. That's where it all starts. That's why I make a big deal about this old book. Amen. And just going to keep making a big deal about this old book. So we'll come back to 23, and we'll take about 3 hours and run all the conspiracies that you know about. Brother Paul?